St. Matthew chapter number 25. St. Matthew chapter number 25. And then when we get done in the book of Matthew, we're going to turn over to the second chapter, book of James. Thankful that the Lord has allowed us all the strength and the health to be gathered here the way that we're gathered here this morning. It's a privilege and an honor for us to get to be here. So I want to thank him for that. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you're a special guest in the house of the Lord. Amen. And let me say this. A lot of times we will give an invitation at the end of the message, if that's the way the Lord leads. But you don't have to wait for the invitation to be given at the end of the message. When God knocks upon your heart, that's the invitation. And let me say this. You won't bother me if he knocks upon your heart during the middle of the preaching. You come on. If he tells me to stop and pray with you, I'll stop and pray with you. If he tells me just to keep preaching, I'll just keep preaching. But you be sensitive and obedient under the wooing of the Spirit this morning. We sing a song, "All is vain unless the Spirit." If Spirit's not knocking, it's not going to do you a bit of good. But if Spirit knocks upon your heart, the Bible says no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. There has to be a drawing Spirit. If you feel that drawing Spirit here this morning, I urge you to come at that time. If you got your Bibles, St. Matthew chapter number 25 is where we'll be reading. We'll begin reading in verse number 31, and then we're going to flip over to the book of James chapter 2. So we'll begin reading in verse number 31. I do stand in need of your prayers this morning that I would do that, and that the Lord would have us to do this morning. So verse number 31, chapter number 25, the Bible says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them that them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And then we'll turn over to the book of James, chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac upon, his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And that's as far as we feel like the Lord would have us to read this morning. I do stand in need of your prayers this morning, that we would just do that the Lord would bid us. And let me beg you this morning, would you just set aside for just a little while? The Bible said the sins and the weights that doth so easily beset us. Would you just clear your hearts and mind for just a little while and listen at what the Spirit would have you to do this morning, my brethren? We see here in these scriptures that I read in Matthew, this thing is coming to an end this morning. After Christ gave up the ghost on the cross and said it is finished, we entered in to the end days according to the word of God. We entered in to the end times when he said it is finished. The plan of salvation was completed. There's nothing else that could be done, or nothing else that will be done. But when he gave up the ghost, he said it is finished. In other words, that was from before the foundation of the earth, that predestinated, foreordained plan from before the foundation of the earth, it was finished. It was completed. The Bible said that the veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, giving you and I, amen, access to the one that died for you and me, a friend of mine. And I guess this morning, if I had a thought, it would be, what are you doing this morning? What are you doing this morning? You see, God loved us enough that he sent his only begotten son to die in mine and your place, that we could have life, and that we could have it more abundantly this morning. Listen to me this morning. There is a part of this thing that you and I have to do. He is a God of order this morning. Brother Wayne, he knows our every need. And it's his desire to help us along the way. But can I say this morning? I've learned in my life that this is a way of you do, and then he'll do. He's a God of order. He wants us to try to get up every day and put our best foot forward. Now he knows, Brother Mickey, even at our very best, we're going to sin and we're going to come short and we're going to fall. But you know, he said this. He said he would go away, and he did, amen. And he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, ever making intercessions for you and I. You see, when we do fall, when we do come short of the glory of God, we have an advocate with the Father, one to plead our case with God Almighty. I want to say this morning. I believe we're living in a day and time where folks is just kind of living a half-hearted Christian life. I'm not here to browbeat you this morning, but the Bible teaches us that the Word, amen, it's good for instruction. It's good for discipline, for admonishing. A friend of mine, we're living in a day and a time where a church is
and deacons and lay members is more worried about the income over at the house of God instead of the outcome over at the... Can I remind us that God commissioned us? He was... let me just go ahead this morning. And my God, he was on a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. I've preached this many a times, and I'll keep preaching it. Folks ask me, why are you a missionary Baptist? I say, because my Lord and Savior was missionary Baptist, a preacher. Do you have book for that? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. The Bible teaches us that he was on a mission, Brother Wayne, to seek and save that which was lost. I remember a story about a woman that had went to the well. And the Bible said that Jesus told his disciples, he said, I must needs go through a Samaria. A friend of mine, he was on a mission that day to save a woman's lost and dying soul. That she had been down with sin in her life. The devil had beat her down about the things that she had in her life. But friend of mine, that travels, her travels to the well, the trip to the well, that day was different than any before. You see, she had made that trip, no telling how many times, over to the well to draw water, a friend of mine. But little did she know, on that day, she was going to get something that she had never got before. She was going to get a drink of water. Of everlasting water. The Bible says it was an everlasting way. A springing up. A friend of mine this morning. You see, we limit of what God can do in our lives. We do. I'm going to get to the message in a bit. But what are you doing? You see, God didn't save you and I for us to put our life under a bushel and to hide it. But he saved us. One, because he loved us. And two, because he had a work for you and I to do. You see, he left something with us that's much more precious than silver and gold. He left something with us. I appreciate the Sunday school message. The teacher said, you see, he said, God can put a peace down in our hearts that when everything is falling in around us, when the storms of life begin to rage, there's a peace that we can hold on to when we see our families and our loved ones going down the wrong roads of life. When we see them lost, you see, there's something that he put down inside that's a hope that surpasses all understanding. Hey man, I'm glad that he can do things far above and beyond anything or anybody that I've ever known. My heart carries me back listen there. And let me just go ahead and say, they didn't treat prisoners back then the way they treat them in the day in which we live. They didn't give them a comfortable bed. They didn't give them heat and air. They didn't give them the best clothing. They didn't give them computers. But they throwed them in the dungeon, down in a deep, dark, a moist dungeon. Put them in shackles. Listen, today we'd call that being mistreated. A friend of mine, but Paul wrote, I believe it was unto Timothy, and he said, I'm looking for you coming, and when you come, would you bring the cloak that I left over Troy? He said, and bring the book, a friend of mine. But he said, above all, bring the parchment. Bring the word of God. Bring the infallible word of God. Because it is power unto a salvation. You see, Paul's comfort was not in the things of this life. Paul's comfort was not in having a job of making $100,000 a year. Paul's comfort was not in the things of this life that's going to pass away with a fervent heat. But Paul's joy and peace lied much deeper than the outwardly man. But he just wanted the word of God, which is the power unto salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Thankful for that. We see here what I read to you in Matthew. There's coming a day that he's going to split that eastern sky. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that the archangel will place 1 foot up on the sea and 1 foot up on the land and declare that time be no more. And the Bible goes on to teach us, listen to me, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that remaineth will be gathered together to be with him forever in eternity. A friend of mine this morning, I've preached it many a time. We make a lot of decisions in this life. I did a study one time, and it's amazing the number of decisions of the human mind Brother Mickey makes every single day. It makes conscious decisions, but it also makes unconscious decisions. Some decisions just come natural to us over time. But let me say this, and it was some crazy like 9,000 something decisions that the human mind makes every day. But can I say this? When we lay this old body down, when this head presses that dying pillar, that day, listen, there's only one decision out of all the decisions, Brother Mike, that you've made all of your life, that's going to matter. And that's whether or not you chose to accept Jesus Christ upon the gospel by faith to be your Savior, amen. Regardless of what this world is teaching, that there's multiple ways upon the authority of God's word, there's only one way into eternal life. And if you come, you'll come by the blood of Jesus Christ. A plus or minus nothing this morning. It'll be, amen, it'll be by faith, amen, that you'll get grace from Father of Lights, amen. The Bible teaches here that on that day, that the angel declares that time be no more, we'll stand before the Father. Listen to me. And I'm going to go ahead and just mind the Lord for just a minute. He said when he splits that eastern sky, that the dead in Christ shall rise. Amen. That's not all the lost. That's just those that are asleep in Christ Jesus. You see, hell's going to give up her dead to stand before the throne of judgment. But there's going to be a separation on that day. Listen to me. He's not going to sit there and check off all of my words and all of your words. And I'm not going to fall out with you if you believe any differently. But I do know this. If you've got faith, there'll be some works to it. Amen. Listen at what James said. He said, you show me your works, and I'll show you my faith by my words. I said, a faith without works is dead. You see, if you ain't a-doing something for God, you say, preacher, I'm just going to stay neutral. No, you're not. There is no neutral. The Bible said that each and every one of us, we're either gathering in or we're scattering abroad. There's some works to this thing. And let me say this to a saved individual. It's a natural process. Amen. Now, I'm not going to say that I don't have to put forth effort, but there's a want to. Brother Mickey, after the Lord saved me, and I'll just be honest with you, I'm proud that He is God, and I'm proud He knows what He's doing. He saved me as a 9-year-old boy. You may think I'm crazy, but I believe God looked down on a little knot-headed country boy and said, if you don't get it early, I just don't think you'll ever get it. Seek Him while you're young. You see, I know what He done for me. I felt it. There was evidence in my life. Boy, I sure seen a big world out there, and I thought, boy, some of that looks pretty good. Some of that looks pretty good. I think my buddies ain't going to like me living this life. Yeah, right. Seeing I forsook it for a while. Yeah. But I sure am glad it's eternal. Amen. I'm glad when I walked away, I didn't lose it. Amen. You see, because it wasn't too much longer, they began to be a convicting spirit down inside of me for where the direction I was going. You see, he'll take care of those that are his. But Mickey, he's carried me around some obstacles that he'd have been just in letting me go through. Would I? But you see, the day and time in which we live, we'll amen the God is love preaching. But you get on the God is just preaching, and it'll get quiet on you in a hurry. But you see, he is a God of love. Bible says God is love. And you know what? I get to love because He is a God of love. I didn't know love till I knew God. And I can't preach and explain it because that love is bigger than you and me. But you see, in our world and in our families and in our nation in which we live, folks has got love and lust mixed up. That's right. You don't throw me away just yet. But I'm just going to mind the Lord. There's a works, Brother Mickey, for us to do. Mom and Daddy, listen to me for just a minute. There's a work for us to do. God gave us some little ones. And he gave them to us, but he also gave us a responsibility to go with them. And the Bible said, if a man won't work and provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. Now, I know there's a lot of folks looking at that through a physical eye, and we are supposed to work physically because of what happened over in the Garden of Eden. That's part of the curse. But spiritually speaking, if you don't work, you don't eat. And Mom and Daddy, let me tell you something. There's something that's more important than a college education. There's something that's more important than your social standing. There's something more important than your career. And let me just tell you this morning, your kids is a watching your life. They're watching your walk. They're seeing the words that's a coming from your faith. And if you're not producing good words, then how in the Lord's name do you think that they're ever going to give good words?
Amen.
You see, there's a part of this thing that we got to do. We have... He said in one place, he said, be ye doers and not just hearers. We got a lot of folks. And can I go ahead and say, you say, preacher, you sure are acting like you're perfect. I'm the first guilty one. We're all guilty, Brother Mike. If we ain't careful, we'll take our eyes off the cross. And we'll take our eyes off of what God really done for us. I had a man ask me the other day, we was talking about Calvary and talking about when Christ was hanging there and when he gave up the ghost. And you know the story. The Bible said that darkness came upon the earth from the sixth to the ninth hour. He gave up the ghost and said, it is finished, in the earthquake. And do you remember what the soldier said? He said, surely this is the Son of God. If that ain't a picture of mercy, God help you and me. He was hanging there, looking upon the ones, Brother Mickey, that was crying, crucify him, crucify him. But he looked down, Brother Mike, in love, and said, I'm going all the way, even unto death, that they could have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
If that ain't mercy, I don't know what is. Even those that he was looking upon that cried, crucify him, crucify him. He died for them, and in mercy they had an opportunity to be saved. Is that not a blessing? I tell you what, we're a spoiled, rotten generation. We have been blessed, and we have been blessed until we've taken our blessings for granted. Amen. And I'm telling you, God just keeps extending mercy and keeps extending mercy. Mercy's going to run out one day. If you're here this morning and you're lost, or if you're here this morning, maybe there's somebody here this morning that has what they thought was the experience of grace, but they realized that something just ain't right with it. Can I say this morning? There's no shame. There's no shame in figuring out that what you thought you got ain't there. But there is shame in staying in that place. That's right. There's shame in staying there. Can I urge you this morning, go ahead and make that decision. Listen, well, a lot of times we get caught up in the works. There's a lot of religions that they're all about works. That's what they teach. That's what they tell. Well, if you'll do this and you'll do this, then you'll obtain this. Can I say this morning? He's a God of order. He's a God of order.
Amen.
This morning in a Sunday school lesson, we learned about Asa. He started to build up them walls. But there was something he done before he started to build up them walls. Do you know what it was? He purged. He purged the kingdom.
Right.
You see, the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Yeah.
That leaven represents sin in our lives.
Right.
You see, we got things out of order in our nation. I know what's going on. I know they're trying to build walls to protect the country. But can I tell you, God ain't going to bless it till we purge it.
Yeah.